Thanks for listening to our Cambridge Breakfast podcast. Remember, you can subscribe with Radio Player or your favourite podcast app and never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us live on Cambridge 105 Radio, weekday mornings from 7.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:10 now on Cambridge 105 Radio, and an event aimed at destigmatising mental health is being held at Cambridge University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust later this week. I think they need to get a catchier name. It's very long-winded. The Open Mind Night.
How about Adam Brooks?
Adam Brooks. Let's just say Adam Brooks from now on. The Open Mind Night, which is obviously a play on the phrase Open Mic Night, is being held at the Frank Lee Centre on this Thursday, the 10th of October, and will mark World Mental Health Week and raise money for the mental health charity Mind. One of those behind the event is a senior neurology radiographer, Chris Folkert, who joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Chris. Thank you for coming
hello.
In. Good morning. Hello. Right, first of all, tell us just a little bit about the event.
So Open Mind Night it's a variety show we've been running for 3 years, 4 years if it goes off on Thursday. And it is a project to celebrate positive contributions that people who've had what we like to call lived experience of a mental health challenge can still bring to the community. It's a time to change event, so it's an anti-stigma event, and we also like to raise money each time we put it on for a different charity. So this year it's for Mind. Mm-hmm. Year before it was for the a local Zero Suicide Challenge charity. It's been running for 4 years. We draw heavily on the Adam Brooks community, so a lot of the artists have some connection to the hospital, but it's open to all. Mm-hmm. We also get people in from the local community, Cambridgeshire. And that goes for the performers and the audience. We're very, very open to everybody coming in. It's what do they call it? The old BBC phrase: the educate, inform, entertain. So we're aiming for a good night, but we're also hoping to start some discussions and raise some money for a good cause.
Good stuff. Now you're a Time to Change champion.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean and entail?
So. The Time to Change champions were originally all people who've had an experience with mental ill health, lived experience. Nowadays, they've broadened that to allies as well, people who've not. Though I think it's one in four over your lifetime, you've got a one in four chance of having a brush with that. And we take the attitude that certainly in the hospital community, if mental health includes workplace stress, then all of us have an experience of it. It's a stressful job, or if it's not, then you've got some excellent coping strategies. So we talk to people about our experiences or about the facts around mental health, mental illness. The idea of Time to Change is that it's an anti-stigma campaign. So whether that is the societal perception of mental illness as something frightening, alien, unknowable, or whether it's the internalized stigma that stops people going to get help, and that's a terrible thing. The fact that for younger people, I think under 40, suicide is still the biggest single killer, I think, after road traffic accidents. And for men, it is absolutely the biggest killer, biggest single cause of death. And that is, we think, largely due to the fact that people won't access the help they need. They don't allow themselves to negotiate their emotional, mental difficulties.
It's interesting. You scan through social media and you see people who seem to be more than willing to share what they perceive as their mental health issues. But at the same time, I know there will be a whole load of people who just look at those very posts and think, oh my goodness, this is me. There's no way I'm going to shout about that.
Absolutely. It's improved radically in the last decade, I think. Certainly in the time I've been... Time to Change swept me up after I'd had a fairly recent diagnosis of bipolar type 2. And it was part of, for me, it was coming out at work, if you like. And it was a very, very positive experience. But prior to that, I went through training with a history of something, depression perhaps. I thought, and that was something that I felt like I had to keep secret. I was worried that I wouldn't be allowed to practice in a responsible role if people knew that I had these problems. It's still an issue.
But the impact of the fear of impact, isn't it, really? It's probably more about the worry of how people react than how they actually react.
How did you take that step then? How did you finally go, actually, I need to tell someone about this?
I think once you've, certainly in the NHS, every time you get a job, there's a second interview. You have a diagnosis, then you have to declare. I should say, you're not legally obliged to, but if you don't declare something, you can't access support. And if it becomes an issue, it's a problem for you. Why didn't you declare it is a valid question. So I think most of us do, and that's confidential.
Yeah.
But it's a stressful experience. Mm. But I think after three jobs, I was fed up with keeping that secret, that having that private battle with friendly, supportive psychiatrists who'd see you every time you got a job, and they'd assess you, and it was always yes, of course. But you go into that fearing that this might be the one time you know your career is ended, and that was something I'd been dealing with on my own, and I think the idea of not having other people go through that completely alone. Mm.
Did you open up to friends or to family at all?
To friends and family, yes, but it always had been, prior to getting involved with Time to Change, a very clear line between people I knew through work who couldn't know and my world outside of work. And so starting to talk at Time to Change, I joined them for a stall in the Adam Brooks public concourse, talked for an hour over my lunch break to the public, to staff and volunteers coming past. And then, of course, I felt like I had to go back to my scanner control room and tell my colleagues for that shift that I'd been doing this. It seemed silly to have done that publicly and then not tell them. And they were completely unfazed. I mean, we all had work to do, but it was a really nice, well, so what?
You know. Right.
And that led to getting involved more with Time for Change and to the event on Thursday. And I noticed some of the artists, Alice Walker, whose name I know, I'm convinced that she has been performing in these very studios, but I don't think I did that. No, she's also an A&E nurse.
She is, yeah. She's a real hero. I think she's the only person she has the best stories of everyone on that stage. I think she's the only one who's stopped a gig, saved a life, and played out her set. She's fantastic.
And who else we got? We've got Broadside. Now, they are a local band. I don't think I'm familiar with Broadside. What sort of music they play? They've got an Adenbrook safety advisor who we should give a call out to. Steve Elvey is involved with them.
Yes. So Broadside are, I think, Saffron Walden based.
Okay.
And Steve is, I think he's a former fire officer. And Broadside is his band.
Okay.
Or at least he's bringing them in. The story there's equally fascinating, but I think we're going to have to leave him to tell that on stage.
Okay, well, an incentive for people to come along.
Yeah.
Also, Addenbrooke's Choir, who we're familiar with here.
Campus Sound.
Campus Sound. Alex Jackson, who is a radiographer.
Yes, one of my
hospital.
Colleagues.
Right.
Yeah. Got some representation.
And he does comedy.
Yes,
oh, that must make
stand-up.
Quite interesting.
Yeah. I think it's the pressure, isn't it? Now people know he's got this secret, then they're going to be expecting a lot more fun.
And on top of all of this, you're also running a marathon, the Yorkshire Marathon.
Yes. Yes, that's a side project. So,
spare time.
Yeah. Well, it led to... We normally try and keep our fundraising local. So the previous years we've had... So the Mind Ed Trust, for example, a local anti-suicide charity last year. But because I'm running for Mind this year, I'm doing three races. I've done two. I've now got the big one to come in October. October 20th, I think. It's a few weeks away now. It's terrifying. It's my first. Because I'm doing this for Mind, then we thought we'd fundraise for Mind on Thursday, yeah.
Okay.
So is that a big full-on marathon? How long is that one?
It's 26.2 miles.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
So I ran 20 miles on Saturday and I am still exhausted.
Where was Saturday's one?
Saturday was just a training run.
Just a training run.
Off,
okay.
Ran off to Ely and it was... mud, reeds, cows. I'm hoping the marathon itself doesn't have quite some
lovely. So the event on Thursday, when and where? Yes.
Frankly Centre.
Okay.
In the Hexagon Room. It is Thursday the 10th, 7 o'clock doors, and we're playing till 10.
And Frankly Centre is where? That is on
Wow.
The campus.
So the Frankly Centre, it's on campus. It's tucked away. It's fairly easy to find, and we'll have volunteers to help people on the night. It's a it's the social club for the hospital community.
Okay.
It's normally members only. If people are coming who haven't been before, they can just tell the Frankly staff that they're there for open mind night and we'll be ushering them through.
Okay. How much to get in?
Well, it's technically free. We're asking for a suggested donation of £3 or more to Mind on the night, and we will be badgering people during the performances for cash. Well, between the performances.
No, badger away. It's a good cause. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Chat to us this morning. Chris Folkard.
Thank you.
And it's 8:21.